Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you on a getaway Friday, October the 16th, 2020, 16 and a half minutes past the hour, and away we go, and I'll be with you for the next five solid hours. We will be here through 1 o'clock this afternoon, so I hope you stick with us through the entire day. Now, we have had an interesting couple days here at WWGH Radio, and if you've listened in the last couple days, you have heard the story, you've heard the thoughts that I have had, you've heard the thoughts that others have had. Sean Kraft was in here, Glenn Coble was in here, you've heard the thoughts that callers had, which is always great. So we're not going to talk a whole lot about that this morning, maybe not at all, and just have some fun on this Friday. I know we're going to do some Family Feud coming up after 10 o'clock this morning, but we've got a great program here leading up until 10 o'clock, so don't change the dial. Now, there is something that I do want to see. I'll just clear my throat on the air here as we start the morning. You know, for some reason, it's 41 degrees right now outside. When I was coming down Center Street this morning, it's 41 degrees, which is colder than it's been all week. But it's fall. This is fall. We're well into fall. Fall came on September 21st, and here we are October 16th. We're well into fall, more than 20 days into fall. You know, what do you expect? We shouldn't be having 70 and 80 degree days at this point. Maybe we'll have a few more, but that's the way it goes. Now, there is something I do want to talk about that's in the national news, and it's not what were they last night? Town halls. It's not the town halls from last night, because frankly, to be honest with you, I didn't watch either one of them. I don't understand what it was all about last night. So if you watched them, I think that's good. I think it's a nice civic thing to do. But I have nothing to say because I didn't watch either one of them. So I guess I'm uninformed this morning when it comes to that. But it's something else that I heard yesterday that's being blown up into something I think bigger than it is. But we'll talk about it here in just a moment. Now, I want to give you a report on my ankle, because I haven't done that all week. I don't think I've talked about my ankle since Monday, because we've had very good guests all week on the show. As you know, last Thursday night, it's been more than a week ago now, I was messing with my antenna, and I was up on a chair, I fell off the chair, landed on my ankle, didn't hurt anything else but my ankle. And the next day, which was last Friday, it was horrible. I was in a lot of pain here in the studio, only when I walked, but I was in a lot of pain. It was swelled up. It was black and blue. It was all these things. And that persisted for quite a long time. Now, here's where we are 8 days later, after the initial fall. I'm not limping anymore, so that's gone. Now, it is still a little swelled, but nowhere near what the swelling was in the beginning. And it is still bruised. I'm trying to look at my foot right now, which is kind of strange, but there's not much bruising at all. I'm looking at the side of it here, and you can barely see any bruising at this particular point. Now, on the other side, see, when you got to bend your ankle to the left, that's kind of hard, but not really any bruising there either. And I told you I had these rashes on the side, I think it was Monday and Tuesday, that itched like crazy. I don't know where these rashes came from, but they itched like crazy, and somebody called in and told me that was the healing process. And the rashes seem to have disappeared. Now, what happened was, interestingly enough, I ended up getting a rash on my heel as well as on my ankle. And right now, the rash that ended up on my heel is actually pretty much gone too, for the most part. So I'm looking at my foot right now, and it is pretty much back to normal. Matter of fact, as I look at it now, I didn't look at my feet this morning when I got up. It pretty much, I'm not even sure it swelled anymore, to be honest with you. And the toes are no longer black and blue. I told you my three middle toes were black and blue at one point. I don't even see any swelling, to be honest with you. I'd have to get somebody else to look at it. If there is any swelling, it's very little. So, I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. A matter of fact, I'm a proponent of going to a doctor. But at this point, I don't know that there's anything wrong here. I'm walking normal again. It looks like the swelling's gone, the rashing's going, the bruising's going, gone. So I don't know what happened. Still don't know what happened. But I seem to be maybe back in the game as far as this ankle goes. Took 8 days, but I may be back in the game. Now, it does still hurt a little bit, though. I have to say that. When I walk on it, there's a little bit of pain, but nothing like what it was the first 4 or 5 days. So, if anybody's got any thoughts on that, you can give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. But I like to keep you in tune to what's going on, because this was something I talked about for 2 or 3 days here, and it is where it is now. I don't know if it healed itself. I don't know why the bruising's gone. I don't know why the rash is gone. I don't know why I can walk on it again just fine. I don't know why I'm not limping anymore. I don't know any of it, to be honest with you. But whatever it was, I seem to be up and running again as of this morning. 740-383-9944. If you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a buzz. But there's the ankle report. I did want to do that because, you know, it was such a production, to be honest with you. I want to let you know that I'm no longer in that bad shape I was in. Now, this is not to say that I could not go into bad shape, because you know, the funny thing is, the body's a weird, weird mechanism. It has weird mechanisms, I guess is what I should say. And I don't know, you know, I might have broke something and it just healed wrong. Although, if it healed wrong, I think I would be in some pain today. But I'm not, and happy for that. And onward and upward this morning. But as I say, anything you want to talk about is also on the table this morning. 740-383-9944. 24 minutes past the hour. Now, one serious story here before we get into the thing I wanted to talk about nationally. Now, this is local, and I wasn't even sure I wanted to talk about this, but it's online, it's certainly known at this point, and kind of the point of this was what the family did. Now, that doesn't make much sense for me to say it, but you'll understand here in a moment. Now, I don't know how many of you out there listening know this person, but you probably certainly know the family or have heard of the family, the Hottinger family here in Marion, who have been involved in the funeral business, funeral home business, for quite some time. Now, good family, from what I understand, nice people. I don't have any relationship with them. I don't even think I've ever met them. But what struck me was the son of the Hottingers, who I believe would have actually been 50 years old today. His name was Craig Hottinger. He would have been 50 years old today. Unfortunately, it happened in the last week, committed suicide. And he was 49 when he committed suicide, and today would have been his 50th birthday. Oddly enough, I did not know that until I looked this morning. Now, here's why I'm bringing this up. his obituary appeared. Now, I'm sure that his family, being in the funeral business, has helped many people prepare families' obituaries. And it's interesting to me that when it came time to prepare their son's obituary, which led him, well, he died of a suicide, that they put that in the obituary. And that's why I'm not talking out of school here, because anybody who saw the obituary, anybody who has read it in the newspaper or online or on the funeral home website, knows that they say flat out, very early on in the obituary, that he committed suicide. And first of all, what a horribly tough thing to do if it's your son. What a horribly tough thing to do if it's just happened, which it did. And what a horribly tough thing to do to admit. Because what I will say, and I don't think it should be tough to admit, I wish it wasn't, but I know many people who have committed suicide and they do not put that in the obituary. Matter of fact, a lot of times the families don't talk about it at all. They don't want that to be the last thing people know about their loved ones. But the Hottinger family put that in there. And I think that's so incredibly brave. I think that's so incredibly helpful. I think that is just an amazing thing as I read that obituary. And I don't even know what led me, to be honest to you, to read this obituary, because I did not know Craig Hottinger. I do not know the Hottinger family. And I'm not even sure why I read it, but I'm sure glad I did, because it for me was so honest and so brutally true that I was just so impressed. And the irony that this was done by a family that has helped so many people prepare their funerals, the Hottinger family, really, to me, was the great irony in the whole thing. And suicide still has a stigma. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what the stigma is, to be honest with you. But suicide does still have a stigma. Now, I'm trying to find the obituary, and if you find it online, read it, because it is so, so poignant. I should have had it pulled up here this morning. I know where I can find it. So let me bring it up, because I want to read a little bit of this for you today, because, again, I think it's just very, very important. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let's see here. Where is it? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to give you a little taste of what this was about. Oh, here it is. Here's the obituary from the Snyder Funeral Homes. Okay. And here's how it starts. And this is the first line, which kind of blew me away. It says, Craig L. Hottinger, age 49, of Marion, died as a result of suicide on Wednesday, September 30th, following a courageous lifelong battle with mental health issues. And then it goes on to give his background here in Marion. He was a Harding High School graduate, big in the wrestling team, earned numerous trophies, attended the University of Toledo, got a bachelor's degree in therapeutic recreation, as near as I can tell, traveled around. He had lived in Macon, Georgia. He'd lived in Weston, West Virginia, Cleveland, had worked at Marion General Hospital until he wasn't able to do that. He was a valet there until COVID came in. He liked to ride his motorcycle, which is in this obituary. He was an animal lover. People talked about how he had a good heart. He was served meals at the First Church of the Nazarene. You know, and this is all in the obituary. Now, you get down to the end of this obituary. Now, this is all in the obituary. This is nothing private. And toward the end, it says this. This is a paragraph toward the end of the obituary. The Hottinger family would like to encourage people in crisis to get help. Anyone can be struggling with suicide. If you are thinking about suicide, are worried about a loved one, or would like emotional support, don't hesitate to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. We can all help prevent suicide. The family also extends its gratitude to the first responders in Marion and emergency department staff at Marion General Hospital who attempted to help Craig on the day of his suicide. And that's in the obituary. I've never seen an obituary quite like that in Marion, Ohio. Suicide's tough. And to my knowledge, I don't think I've ever had a suicide in my family, and if I do, it certainly wasn't close to me to where I would remember it. But I really give the Hottinger family here tremendous, tremendous credit. I imagine it was very hard to put all that in the obituary. But I do want to mention this again because they wanted to mention it and I want to mention it. If you know someone who is dealing with issues, who you think might be attempting to commit suicide, if you know someone, if you're having those issues and thinking about suicide, there is help. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. And I agree with them. We can all help prevent suicide. It's just such a striking obituary. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Did anybody know Craig Hottinger out there? I hope the family is doing as well as they can be. I'm sure that's very tough. This just happened on September the 30th, so 16 days ago. What more can you say? The opening line of this obituary. Opening line, first line. Craig L. Hottinger, age 49, of Marion, died as a result of a suicide on Wednesday, September 30th, following a courageous lifelong battle with mental health issues. And here's the thing. To this day, mental health issues still have a stigma. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, if you have cancer, if you have diabetes, if you have a stroke, and you go to the doctor and they give you medicine for that, you're going to take it because that's a disease and you need help with it. For some reason, people don't treat mental health that way. They'll go to the doctor and sometimes they get a prescription, not always. Sometimes they get therapy. Sometimes they get a combination of both. But sometimes people say, I'm not taking the medicine. I'm not going to do this. I can just pull myself up. It's a disease. It's not just a feeling. It's not just today I'm happy, tomorrow I'm sad. It's not that way. It's just, and I will make a big statement here, it's like cancer. It's like diabetes. It's like a stroke. It's like high blood pressure. Would you not take your blood pressure medication if you knew it was going to cause a heart attack? You know, and we are talking life or death here. Look at this story. It resulted in a 49-year-old person's death who apparently had everything going for them. And this person, from what I understand, was very much into physical fitness. It had nothing to do with his physical health. It had to do with his mental health. And it did end in death. Much like cancer does, much like heart disease can, much like stroke can, but we take our medicine for that. We get what, you know, we go to the gym for that. We go to the clinics for that. But for mental illness, we don't see that as life or death. Well, you know what? It is life or death. It's life or death for a lot of families. And suicide is the life or death of that. So don't feel a stigma if this has happened in your family. Don't feel a stigma if you're dealing with issues. Get help. Go to the doctor. Call somebody. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing that if you don't want people to know. But don't be ashamed if you do have to tell people. Who cares? It's your issue. It's your problem. And we all deal with different things in our life. And don't ever let it get to that point. Because if you let it get to that point, terrible things can happen. So once again, the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, you should always have this written down in your house. If you have an issue, or if you know somebody who might have an issue, just so you can help them out. 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. And you know, if you think somebody's having problems, you just message them that number. And they might not like you messaging them that number, but at least they have it. And they can do with it what they will. And hopefully, lives can be saved. And we're doing that this morning. Again, I have no personal connection, but we're doing this for the late Craig Hottinger, who would have been 50 today. Didn't make it because of this. And his family, who is here, left to deal with the fallout of that. And it's horrible. Does anybody have anything to say about this? There's a lot to say about this. There's a lot to say about mental health. There's a lot to say about suicide. There's a lot to say about this family who is very well known in this area, who was willing to do this in their son's obituary. That's gutsy. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I don't want this to be me on a soapbox this morning, but, you know, it's very, very tough. It's very tough. It's tough to deal with any illness, let alone this one, which is becoming pervasive. And I'm thinking about it a lot during this pandemic because people are in financial troubles. People are having to distance themselves from other people. And it's causing a lot of isolation. And it's causing a lot of problem, in my opinion. You know, I talked to somebody maybe a month ago who's involved with mental health issues. And they were telling me how this whole work-at-home thing, that they hope it doesn't become permanent, because it's giving people a reason not to have to interact with other people, not to have one-on-one human contact. We all are already eliminating human contact because of texting and because of messaging and because of cell phones. I mean, we don't visit people like we used to in our private life. And if this now spills over into our work life where we don't even have to go to the office anymore, I really don't know what that's going to do to a lot of people. A lot of people will be perfectly fine because much like stroke, cancer, heart attack, it doesn't hit everyone. But some people it does. And I don't want to exacerbate anybody's problem at this particular point when it comes to mental health. So, there you go. Does anybody have anything to say? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can certainly talk about this. I never have understood what the stigma is around mental health. I don't know. Is it supposed to be a weakness? Is it supposed to be, I don't have this? I don't know. I really don't know what the stigma is supposed to be. But I know it's there. And I have seen people. I have seen people judge it. And when I'm around people who make judgments on people who are on medication or people who are down or upset over something, that's one of the biggest things I look down on in life. And I try not to look down on people in general. But boy, when I see somebody criticizing somebody for going out and getting some help, I really wonder, what's your motive? You know, if you don't like it, if you don't like that people are getting help with their mental health issues, then I'm going to put this as plainly as possible. Shut up. Shut up. It's not you. You know, don't critique other people's lives and choices. You don't know what they're going through. There you go. So, phone lines are open. You can tell me I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm right. You can tell me anything else going on in the world. But I did want to bring that up today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Important to bring up. Not exactly the most flowery issue in the world to talk about, but does need to be talked about in the media more, does need to be talked about as often as we can, because people are suffering every day. And if you're one of those people, you know, we don't take names here on the air when people call in. You can always call here. Tell us what's wrong. What, you know, are hearing firsthand experiences, and I do believe in this. When somebody calls in here and possibly talks about an experience they've had, I like to hear that, and I do believe it helps other people. But that's my opinion. Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to hear you speak on this about mental illness, because I have one. Mm. And when I'm better and all, I can function just as well, if not better than anyone else. And this last time that I had to go to the hospital for 9 days, it was because of Lyme disease, complications from Lyme disease, which I don't know if you know much about that, but I sure do now that I've had it this long. And I have a sister-in-law that spread it to the whole community that I was on the psych unit, not knowing the whole story. And it's irritating, it's embarrassing sometimes, and I try really hard to stay well, and she doesn't make it easy.
No.
But, you know, karma has a way of coming back at people like that. And now I found out from one of my family members that she has to take medication herself now. So, you know, I don't talk about her everybody else, but it's kind of funny that now she supposedly has problems too. I don't know.
Now, why do you think that she found it her place to go to tell people that you were in the psych unit? What do you think she got out of that?
I think it was for attention, because she had just got remarried. She had a failed first marriage. I've been married to her brother for over 40 years, so I don't really know what her whole intention was, but she was an only daughter with a bunch of boys, and sometimes only daughters, especially when they're the youngest, are very spoiled. And I had three other sisters, and believe me, we pulled each other's hair sometimes when we were younger. But nowadays, we don't have to do that, because my sisters would never do that to me. My sister-in-law would, but not my sisters.
You know something interesting, and I just want, I'm going to make a statement here without saying the person. No, but because I want to ask you a question about this. First of all, and we do still call it the psych ward, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know.
They call it the behavioral unit now.
Oh, that's good. That's better terminology.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, this is it's at the Marion General Hospital, and it's,
right,
you know, it's not labeled, nor should it be.
Uh-huh.
And it's fine. And I'll tell you, I have been back there, not as a patient, but right. I did visit somebody who was back there. And I will say mm-hmm. this, and I don't know, you know, some people will know this and some people will not. But, you know, I think some people think that even in Marion here, people have great lives. And I know somebody who is so well known in this community, mm-hmm. so well known, and mm-hmm. everybody knows them. If I said the name, they
yeah,
would know it.
Right.
And
well, they know my name too, so
right.
it
well,
doesn't matter.
Well,
I don't care so anymore.
Well,
so.
But I know that this person has been dealing with mental health issues most of their life, and
right.
I know that they have ended up in this unit at Marion General
right.
on more than one occasion.
Right.
And but it's very hush hush. You know, it's very
yeah. right.
don't talk about it. Don't. Acknowledge it.
Yeah, now, because society makes it that way.
Right, and I have visited
right.
them there, and I know it helps them. When they leave, they feel better.
Right.
So the question I wanted to ask you was, because I don't think people who don't have it get it. And I'm not,
right.
You don't have to tell me what illness
right.
you have, but
well,
what happens?
Yeah, what happened with me?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. My husband took me into the ER at like 4 o'clock in the morning, basically because I was having an anxiety attack. And the medicine they used to give me for that was called Melaril. They don't make it anymore. And if the doctor in the middle of the night would tell me, take one pill, call me in the morning, I fell asleep. That's what the medicine was for. It was as-needed-only medicine, you know? Well, anyway, since they don't make it anymore, you know, you're kind of stuck. But we did figure that out when I was in the hospital, and they ordered me a different drug. It's called Zyprexa. I haven't had to take it since I've been at home, but I did take it at the hospital because I wasn't just mentally sick this time. I was very physically sick with this Lyme disease. Actually, they found the Lyme disease on a routine mammogram, of all things. So, anyway, this Lyme disease, I guess, is going to last several months now that you feel like you've got mono once you're starting to get better. So, you know, you really do need your rest. So the extra medicine they gave me on the behavioral unit for now was probably a good idea. I mean, I sleep a lot, but maybe I need to right now, you know?
Well, the thing of it is that I don't think people get is when you first started to have these problems.
Yeah, I know I do.
Right. What did you feel like? You talked about feeling like you had mono there.
What do you feel like? That's with the Lyme disease, the mono, not the other. My type of mental illness is called manic depression. All it means is that when I get kind of scared, I mean, my family just calls it that you're wound up, you know? And that was a nice terminology because there's a lot of them in my family. And so my family doesn't really think a whole lot of it because, you know, it just happens. But normally with manic depressive people, if you check history, Van Gogh and all those guys had mental illnesses, and normally when they did their best work was during a manic phase. So, you know, I don't think the manic phase is necessarily, it doesn't feel bad to the patient, but I know it's what can get me into trouble because my mouth has no inhibitions whatsoever. And if you have ever done anything to me in the last 62 years, I will call you out on it if I'm out in public. So I know I have to sign myself in to keep my mouth shut because the type of job that I had for 30-some years, I don't want to tell everybody's secrets. I'm a nurse. And I know way too many things that other people have said when they've been in the hospital under anesthetic, you know, and stuff that I don't want anybody else to know. But if I'm safely tucked away at the hospital, they can listen to it if they want to. because my mouth is really running fast.
Now, do
and
you?
My memory is very good.
Do you know that when you're in that phase, when all that's happening, do you know it in your own mind?
Oh yeah, yep. And I hate it because I can't control it. That's why I know I have to go to the hospital. Now, on the flip side of that, there's always a depression that follows the manic phase. I've only had four in my life that were really bad. And the depression phase, yes, I want to kill myself. I want to run my car off the bridge. And I tell everybody that. And I feel like, you know, hell. But nobody else is really worried about me in that stage because I've never done any harm to myself or anybody else at that point. But I always feel like I could.
Now what?
You know, and that scares me. Awful.
Well, when you have faced these moments of suicidal tendencies, you know, you have a life, you have a job, you have a family.
I've got kids.
Kids.
Yeah.
What, and people always say, and I think this is, they always say, well, how could you, you have kids, you have all this. What are you feeling? What goes through your mind?
That I'm letting everybody down, that I'm not, you know, all those things that everybody else has, but one of the nurses at the doctor's office one day explained to me the depression that I have since I'm diagnosed with manic depression is 10 times worse than a normal depression. And she said, you've just got to ride it out. It isn't going to last forever. So my way to handle it is to constantly pray. That's what works for me. I mean, I am praying constantly because it's about the only thing that can I... that can get my mind straight. That and playing cards. Something about playing cards or some games that seem kind of simple, it kind of like it restacks my brain so it thinks right. And crossword puzzles, but nothing hard. The easy old lady crossword puzzles.
Now,
because it makes me think, you know, about something else.
Now, does being around other people help?
Oh, yeah, and everybody wants to be around me when I'm suicidal. I'm not a harm to anybody. At least my family knows that. I'm not going to do anything to myself. I just have to talk and talk and talk it all out until it's gone.
Yeah.
And then once it's gone and the manic phase is done, I'll be good for another 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, and I won't have one problem the entire time because I always take my medicine. Usually, it's a reaction to my medicine.
Now, what advice would you give to possibly a family member or somebody who might have a similar issue who's listening this morning,
mm-hmm.
who has not been to a doctor, who is not on medication? What would you say to them?
I'd say go get help. Start with your family doctor. If that doesn't help, go to the ER and tell them, because I think ERs are much better equipped these days, and actually, that behavioral unit at Marion General is one of the nicest ones I've ever known or worked on, because I've actually worked at a psychiatric nursing home before for 4 years. And I can handle it when I'm feeling well. Now, menopause was a little tough, but I'm past that now, so what the heck? You know? Now I'm a grandma, and I think since those hormones are finally out of my system, things are a whole lot calmer at our house.
Well, you know, and I tell you, it's interesting to me because, like I said, I don't think mm-hmm. this is treated like cancer or heart disease. But it can end much like with, did you hear the obituary for this gentleman who unfortunately committed suicide, that his family put that in.
I did see that in the paper.
I was so...
I am so glad that they put that in the paper, though.
Yes, yeah.
Because so many people think that COVID is causing everybody's deaths right now. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing at all. In fact, I've tried to tell people, because it's just like you said earlier, people think that you're weak if you have it. Actually, it takes a very strong person to be able to live with mental illness as severe as what I've got and handle it and then seem normal most of the time. And they even sent some guards in my room the last time I was in the hospital. I didn't want to talk to the robot. They had a robot named Christina at 4 o'clock in the morning. I told Christina four times I didn't want to talk to her. She still tried to talk to me. And she was remotely controlled. She could actually move and try to get my face a fifth time.
Well,
so, anyway, I don't think they'll ever send a Christina robot in my room again, ever.
No, I can understand why. Why can't I? You know, honestly, I cannot thank you enough for calling in, because I think firsthand is important.
You are so welcome.
And thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing that, because I do believe it's important, and I believe it helped other people.
Okay.
And stay well, and call anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, there you go. Now, give us a buzz. That's important. Those are great calls. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. It's, and again, you don't have to give your name. That caller did not give her name, and that's perfectly fine. But I do want to give this again, because it was in the obituary, and I believe it's very important. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. It's not a joke, and it's not... there was a line years ago, it's a disease. It's not a disgrace, it's a disease. And boy, that doesn't apply any more aptly than with this particular disease. And there is a... They used to call them psych wards, but behavioral units, I like that term much better. We have one here in Marion. And, you know, if you have to go there to get better, good. Go there. Don't fight it. Just do it. We only have about 4 minutes left in this segment. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say on this. And you don't have to have firsthand experience. If you do, that's fine. But if you just want to comment, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will put you on the air. And maybe someday, in some way, we'll figure out exactly what this stigma is all about. You know, we have gotten over stigmas of so many other things. Many things have carried stigma over the years, but mental health still does. And a matter of fact, I have come to hate the word stigma when it comes to mental health, because what we've got to do is destigmatize the word. We've got to destigmatize the illness, and I don't think we can keep saying it has a stigma, because even though we're saying it doesn't have one, when we refer to it like that, we're saying it does. So I don't even like to use that word anymore, and as a matter of fact, I might just delete that word out of my vocabulary right now when it comes to mental illness, and just say, listen, if you have mental illness, get help. Get help. Why live in a world that is not 3D and filled with colors and filled with hope? Why live in the world where you're sick? And that's what you are. You're sick. And just as if you had a temperature, you would get help. You would take your temperature. You would take some aspirin to get the temperature down. You might have some chicken soup. And in this case, the same thing is true. You're sick. You just need to get some help and get through it and get past it. And there you go. And we can talk about this at any point during the morning, but I hope in some way this has been helpful, and I certainly thank the caller for calling in and saying what they did, because I believe that was very helpful. As I say, I'll be here through 1 o'clock this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. We got a break coming up here. Be back in about 15 minutes.
I'm always amazed at who you have.
Well, you have been such a pal, and I know you don't do much media anymore, but you're always so kind to me, and I want to take the... I always thank you when we're done. Thank you on the air for years of being so